ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's so good after so many years to give that joy back to them and see that pride in their eyes is beautiful to watch.
Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta after the Gunners advanced to their second ever Champions League final. This morning we learned they'll be taking on French heavyweights Paris Saint-Germain. How do you begin to appreciate the scope of the 2025-26 Arsenal story? A club derided for a unique capacity for capitulation, a byword for calamity. A little over 2 weeks ago, their loss to Manchester City appeared the death knell of a Premier League campaign they had dominated. It was almost inconceivable to imagine them reaching the final of the Champions League, let alone fixing their Premier League campaign. 17 days later, they can now win both. How has a club famous for bottling it rediscovered resolve? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. We spoke to ABC football reporter Daniel Garb 2 weeks ago. This is a guy who has covered the Premier League. He's covered the Champions League. The theme that day was essentially how Arsenal have bottled it. And that's why we love sport, Garby. 2 weeks and a bit on, the Gunners have engineered an astonishing turnaround in both the Premier League and to a lesser extent the Champions League in terms of their resolve. How and why have they been able to do it?
Well, City slipping up in the Premier League helps. The drop points against Everton gave Arsenal the ascendancy.
Is, however you wrap it up, potentially a damaging result for Manchester City because they have dropped 2 points, but they were on the cusp of dropping three.
So they reclaimed top spot with a bit of a buffer and then won through to the Champions League final. Obviously, they needed a mistake from City. They got that. But, you know, I think they've got some leaders in the squad right now that have helped them keep their head. Declan Rice, above all, in that sense. I think he's been a fantastic player for them, but certainly the number one inspiration across the team.
Once we went 1-0 up, I knew we was going to win. I just felt it, you know, when you feel something special building. It was just such a good moment to be out there tonight.
And they've managed to sign a lot of players who have reinforced the squad and given them some depth and allowed them to rotate. And yeah, Mikel Arteta's been able to keep things as calm as can be amid the media fan firestorm around Arsenal, which still can engulf once more because if they slip up from here, it is incredible. They're on the precipice of one of the most incredible seasons, maybe the most incredible in their history, or the most devastating. It's really on that knife's edge. I mean, if they claim the double, then they wouldn't have had a campaign like it before. But if they claim nothing, it's something they might not recover from. It's really on that point right now with, you know, less than a month to go.
Well, I mean, we're talking about a club derided frequently for being always the bridesmaid. Imagine being double bridesmaid in a season where they could have won both. The celebrations this week. Something to behold out of North London. And Arteta sort of spoke about it being a moment for the fans in terms of their evolution and almost demanding a level out of them.
The atmosphere, our support is created, the energy, the way they lived every ball with us, it made it special and unique. I never felt that in the stadium.
Club legend Thierry Henry, I loved seeing him gassing up Bukayo Saka after the winner over Atletico Madrid.
Please, I wish you all the best because we couldn't do it. And I hope that you're going to be able to do it. And I know I will repeat it myself because I want that name to stay. If you guys do it, you ever manage to do it and you go on to win the title also, I don't want to jinx nothing. We're still not there. You know, I stay in my lane. But you guys will be known as the Unforgettables. We were the Invincibles. So go and get that.
I just wanted to know, though, do you sense it as the celebrations being justified this week or are we in premature territory?
Well, technically premature because they haven't won a thing. And if they fail to win a thing, as I said before, it'll be something they will struggle to recover from. I think it would break their spirit if they failed to win the Premier League. The Champions League, they could survive without winning, even though they've never won it in their history and there's another big opportunity there. Yes, it would hurt them enormously if they failed to win the Premier League. They got the final after the Premier League's decided. Slip up there, it'd be complete and utter devastation. The Champions League could still be their salvation if they don't win the Premier League title because that would be an enormous trophy for them. So not won it in their history when clubs like Nottingham Forest and Aston Villa have in England is something that Arsenal have been mocked for, along with the three straight runner-ups in the Premier League. So this is their chance to end all of it. So premature, technically, because it could still go the other way. But you can understand their relief. And because when they made their mistakes and City went to the top, they thought, oh no, not again. And they had a very tough Champions League semi-final against Atletico Madrid to overcome both of those hurdles for now, be in the final and back at the top of the Premier League. You can understand their relation. But the majority of true Arsenal fans will know that it can twist again and they could end up with nothing. And that is a prospect they do not want to ponder.
PSG edged out Bayern Munich this morning. And I thought it was telling when Arsenal star Saka was asked who he'd want to play.
Come on, man. You can't ask me that. You know I'm going to have to give a media trained answer to that question. But you know deep down who we want to face. That's what I'll say.
Go on, Mikhail.
Leave it there, man.
We can only assume that means PSG after they knocked them out in the semi-finals last year. They're a juggernaut of a team, this French club, who've spent the bulk of the year limbering up for a Champions League run. Is this a kind of careful what you wish for thing for Arsenal?
Well, I think they knew that whoever they played, it would be a huge task and they would be the underdog. I mean, it was always the stronger semi-final, PSG, Bayern Munich. Whoever got through from Arsenal or Atletico would have their work cut out for them, and that will still be the case. You could tell that semi-final over the two legs was a cut above, certainly in an attacking sense, over Arsenal, Atletico Madrid. But the Gunners' defence has been superb all season long, so they'll back themselves to try and frustrate Paris Saint-Germain. But, you know, the talent they have is out of this world, headlined by the current Ballon d'Or winner in Ousmane Dembele, and there are so many others there. And they've become a team now that knows how to win. I mean, that was always the knock on PSG. And they had all the talent, but they couldn't quite get over the line in the European Cup. They've obviously done that now, so it doesn't faze them anymore. The Gunners will be, it'll be a very tough task for them. But if they can win it, it'll be enormous, whether they won the Premier League or not. As I said, for them to have never won a European Cup when Liverpool have won it 6 times, Man United have won it 3 times, they think they belong in that discussion. They probably know success-wise they're a level below, but that is a huge gulf. 6-3-0 in your history. It's something that Arsenal fans are well aware of. They get mocked about. And you know, to end that drought would be a monumental task for them. I mean, the Thierry Henry team, the Invincibles, which everyone talks about, made it to a final, failed against Barcelona. And they haven't been back to that point since.
Not this year. 2006 is the year that Barcelona returned to the summit of European football. The favourites have won the final.
This is their chance.
Would that put them actually past that much beloved Invincibles outfit of Henri, Wenger and co?
It's a great question. If they win the double, yes, you'd have to. I mean, the European Cup Premier League double is just so incredibly rare. Look at how we talk about the Manchester United team that did it in 99. It does not happen very often at all. So if they did do that, they would without a doubt go past the Invincibles. Now, they may not have played the same football that the Invincibles team played. That's why they were regarded as so special. It wasn't just the achievement. It wasn't just the fact that they went through undefeated. It was Henri and Pires and Viltor and Vieira. I mean, they had players that you couldn't take your eyes off. This Arsenal team haven't been the same, but they've been incredibly solid at the back, far more resilient than I think a lot of people thought they would be under pressure. And they've got themselves in that position. So, yeah, they could be the greatest Arsenal team of all time, certainly in terms of achievements.
From a Premier League perspective, West Ham this week, then Burnley, then Crystal Palace. City manager Pep Guardiola, he spelled it out.
Well, now it's in our hands. If they win all the games, the title will be for Arsenal.
But as we've sort of detailed over the last 7 minutes or so, they get the wobbles. Are you forecasting another twist, Garby?
Possibly. I mean, West Ham away is not easy because they're fighting for their Premier League lives and they're a London rival. So Tottenham have gone above them in that battle to avoid relegation. West Ham are literally battling for their Premier League status. And we all know how important that is. And Arsenal have had the Champions League semi-final to deal with this week. West Ham will have been building up to this like it is their cup final. But momentum can be very important. Well, it would have taken something out of Arsenal mentally. You go and make the final. You're up and about moving into the Premier League. We've seen that so many times. People say, oh, the 2 games in a week at this stage of the season is going to hurt them. It can, but usually the momentum takes over. And the energy of that with so much to play for, that they should be too good for West Ham. But it's definitely a tricky game on paper, considering what West Ham have to play for. They'll beat Burnley at home. That's not a worry. And then Palace away. I mean, there's still a chance Palace could get sucked into this relegation fight if they fail to pick up points in their next 2 weeks. And they could be fighting for something in the final weekend. They're another London club that would love to screw over Arsenal as well. So there are those rivalries at play. I think City's run in slightly easier. Brentford and Palace at home should win both. Bournemouth away, tricky, but how much do they have to play for? Villa at home are not going great at the moment. So, yeah, I think City with the extra game, they do have an FA Cup semi-final coming up. They probably have the slightly easier run-in than Arsenal on paper. But, yeah, the Gunners, it's a simple equation. Win all three and you are champions for the first time in 22 years. That's the other thing. It's a never mind the European Cup drought. It's 22 years since they won the Premier League title. I mean, everyone mocked Liverpool for the 30-year run. They're not that far off it. And I think they know if they don't take it this year, how do they bounce back and go again?
So in a race between Arsenal and City, it still feels to me like the neutrals are cheering ultimately for what I would consider to be the big bad in Man City. Like, these are the guys who are no shortage of allegations about cooking the books and being the big spenders of world football for a sustained period of time. So why are neutrals cheering or barracking home for the big bat?
Because they're not a threat in terms of the banter and the club rivalries. Simple as that. City are just, they're there. I mean, they were the small club that won football lottery and went on to win everything. But I'll make it as simple as I can. People don't have as many City friends that are fans. So they don't feel that intense rivalry. And they don't have that club rivalry with some of the others that Arsenal do. I mean, Arsenal and Liverpool, Arsenal and United. I mean, it's vitriol. Arsenal and Tottenham. Of course those clubs want City to win it because they've just always won it. Another title for City, what does that do to everyone? Nothing, really. But if Arsenal end their drought, all right, well now, you know, we can't give it to you anymore. If they win a European Cup for the first time ever, we don't have that hanging over you. That's how it is on the terraces and in the pubs and in the chat rooms and etc. And Arsenal gave it to Liverpool for years. I mean, when they were rising to the top of English football with Henri and Wenger and co, they were mocking Liverpool, and rightfully so. That's the game. And they loved giving it to United when they got above them in those years. And you don't think United and Liverpool fans want to give it to Arsenal now and have enjoyed that for the last few years? Of course they have. They don't want that to end. But if it does, of course they'll be the first to say, congratulations, you deserved it. But it boils down to something as simple as that. City are not a threat to you personally. It doesn't hurt. Whereas Arsenal have the rivalries. And of course those things hurt fans because it means so much.
Loving the stakes. Beautifully laid out. Daniel Garb, thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Headlines. Some things go together, like Fed Square and the absolute scenes when the Socceroos score in a FIFA World Cup. So people were pissed when it was announced by the Melbourne Arts Precinct that they wouldn't be showing games during the 2026 tournament due to concerns about antisocial behaviour. The backlash was about what you'd expect. Imagine cancelling something so collectively joyous because of the chance someone might misbehave. Said backlash has had the desired effect. The Victorian Premier has intervened to overturn the decision. She's promised zero tolerance for bad behaviour. I wonder what's going to happen if a flare goes off. Stay tuned. Mary Fowler is also in celebration mode after her club Man City won the Women's Super League in England overnight in the AFL. Carlton coach Michael Voss has spoken for the first time since Carlton copped a $75,000 fine for bringing the game into disrepute over the Elijah Hollands episode. He declined to expand on the club statement, which essentially rejected the idea they had failed. But what did he think about the broader recommendations, like a mandated full-time psychologist at clubs?
I think some of the recommendations I'll leave for another time. So I had my say last week. I reckon it's best to just sort of probably move on to this game and focus on how we beat Brisbane.
Okay then. Voss has also gone six games without a win as pressure continues to build on the Carlton coach. Reigning premiers Brisbane are this week's opponent. I haven't been keeping a close eye on the IPL, but how could you miss Cooper Connolly going bananas overnight? He scored 107 from 59 balls for the Punjab Kings. That is just insane. They still lost, mind you, to Royal Challengers Bangalore, thanks largely to player of the match Pat Cummins, who had two wickets and two fantastic catches. Imagine scoring 100 from under 60 rocks and not being player of the match. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Prime Video, Paramount Plus and Champions League for the extra audio used in this episode.